Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Rhodes.
Yeah, Daddy, that'd be a little weird.
Coffee has more than one royal.
Adrenaline
in my cup. Oh, goodness. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. Don't forget, I haven't mentioned it in a while, but don't forget, Strange Brew Coffeehouse is a Bulldog Initiative business. So every click supports the Bulldog Initiative. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. A lot of businesses have taken advantage of the deal that I've presented here on Thunder and Lightning. And they have come out and said, hey, you know, we can be a Bulldog Initiative business and we can get the expertise of Pip Printing and Signs behind us. Let's do that. Your business can be next. If you're a business owner and you're a Mississippi State fan, you need to get in on this deal. 10% of your sale goes directly to the Bulldog Initiative. You already spend money on printing each and every month. That's part of your monthly expenses as a business owner. This is telling you right now that you don't have to spend any more money to support Mississippi State. That's a great deal if you're a Bulldog fan. You simply can't pass it up. So give Pip Printing and Signs a call today. 601-499-5216. That's Cam Baker's number. He'll take care of everything. Just tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. We're just days away now. I mean, we were literally days away from the first football game of the season. You've got to get a new polo. All right. You got to. All right. It just needs to happen. Don't you come into that stadium with that banner in polo. Don't you do it. Get rid of it. Get a new polo. Go to College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. Lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. It doesn't have to be a special occasion to eat dinner at Restaurant Tyler. The dinner is the special occasion. You tell somebody, hey, I'm taking you to dinner at Restaurant Tyler, you just became their best friend. I mean, you know, she'll say yes if you go to Restaurant Tyler. She'll take that ring and be like, yes, I will marry you if you go to Restaurant Tyler. And you don't even have to know her. Restaurant Tyler? Maybe that's a bit much. I don't know. Regardless, it's a great place to eat. Great steaks, pasta. Their pork chop is maybe the best in town. It's one of the most underrated. People are always like, I should get a steak. Get the pork chop next to me. Go to Restaurant Tyler for dinner. It's fantastic. Lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. I had to clarify there because I was like, she'll say yes. And like, oh, wait, let's clarify what she's saying yes about.
Yeah, you don't want to be
I don't want to be that guy. Yeah, it's like I meant like a marriage proposal.
There we go.
Make that very clear.
People will jump to conclusions.
They will. Local radio host says you can get sex from Restaurant Tyler.
I don't need that. Start making the wrong headlines.
I don't need that. I don't need that in my life. 16 Priority 1 bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. And they'll show you all the locations that are nearby. If you live in Central Mississippi, there's going to be one near you. More importantly, though, they're going to show you financially what they can do for you, how they can help you manage your money, help you invest, and help you build your future for your family for years and years to come. If you live in Central Mississippi and you haven't checked out Priority One Bank, you're making a mistake. You need to go check them out today. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I got to go to Hattiesburg today to get paid off by Luke Johnson.
finally getting your
getting my hamburgers. That's right.
Heck yeah. Get your shake.
Oh yeah,
I'm get your shake too.
Yeah, I'm going. So we go. The order is bacon cheeseburger, Ed's fries, Captain Crunch milkshake.
So you're gonna actually get fries.
I love the Ed's fries. I like cheese fries. I'm starting to come around a little on fries. I'm just a little. I don't want
McDonald's. The older brother has turned you.
The older brother's fries have turned me a lot. And like, I don't like thick fries. I don't want steak fries. I don't really like crinkle cut fries. I like nice thin crispy fries. Mm-hmm. But I will get those. But I gotta have something to dip them in. And so if you got buffalo, I'm not a ketchup guy, so I like buffalo sauce on my French fries.
Not a ketchup guy.
I don't like ketchup. I just don't like it.
Do you like mustard?
No. And we know how I feel about mayonnaise.
Not a single condiment that you usually eat on a hamburger.
Correct.
You think about, okay,
I used to work at, when I was in high school, I worked at Burger King, right? Whopper was ketchup, mustard, pickle, onion, lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, right?
You hate it all.
I didn't eat a single thing on a Whopper.
How? You just ate the burger plain.
Well, I'd get cheese on it, maybe bacon cheeseburger.
That, I mean, I would choke on that.
What?
I would choke on that. It would be so dry.
No, it's fine. It's flame broiled. What are you talking about? It's juicy.
Flame broiled. Oh, yes. The burgers are fresh at Burger King, too, aren't they?
They were flame broiled. I don't know if they were not fresh. I'm just telling you, the first night I worked there, I was like, how do they cook these on the grill? How does this work? And they're just like, all right, you just take them, these frozen patties, and you just line them up on the oven, and they just go through on a chain where there's a flame, and they come out cooked on the other side.
It's better than what I see at McDonald's. I don't know. I've had some friends that have worked at McDonald's.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say it's fine or whatever. But I look back there and they're like pulling the burgers out of these Tupperware things.
Yeah.
And
things were in a freezer.
And as we know now, the burgers, they actually don't disintegrate or anything. They just kind of turn a little more gray.
Mm-hmm.
They got that guy that did the project where he just set the burger out on.
Yeah.
In the open air for like a year, and it never disintegrated. Nothing ever ate it. It just,
that's gross.
Was there.
Well, there you go.
That's what you're putting in your body when you go to McDonald's.
I like McDonald's.
I'm sure you do.
Look at my body. It's beautiful. So yesterday on the three message board, there was a thread about scheduling and schedule imbalance, and I don't buy into schedule imbalance. It just is what it is this year. You know, they're going, you know, next year it's going to, or 2 years from now it's going to change. And we know that, right? We know that Mississippi State's schedule for 2026 is already kind of set, right? If you look at fbsschedules.com, they've got all of the schools, are all of the non-conference games already set for Mississippi State for 2026. They play ULM. They play at Minnesota. They host Troy. They host Tennessee Tech. And then based off of what we know of the schedule the state currently has, we know that if they stay at 8 conference games, what that schedule is going to be in 2026. We know that state will go to Ole Miss. That's the only game we know for sure that's home and away. And then we know that state will play Alabama, Auburn, LSU, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Texas. Oklahoma. That's your 8 conference games, right? So however you want to split them up. Robbie, at first glance, that is a very manageable schedule, you would think. I mean, Vandy, South Carolina, Kentucky, winnable kind of games. Oklahoma, I mean, they should be better by that point. I think they'll have a new coach by that point, just personally. Auburn, I mean, state has been competitive with Auburn for the last decade. LSU, Alabama, obviously tough. The Egg Bowl is what it is. Robbie, so today's question, I guess, today's topic is, if I told you that I think in 2026, Lebby should have this program at a point where with that schedule, they can compete for a college football playoff spot. They should be pushing 9-3, 10-2. Am I being fair? Am I too far ahead of my skis there? Is 3 years enough time in today's day and age of college football where you can change your roster so drastically in 1 year? Is that enough time to say by that time you should be a top 15 kind of program?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you look at what Dan Mullen did in year two. There were some winnable games during that stretch on that schedule where State could have very easily been obviously there wasn't a playoff at that point, but they could have very easily been a top 12 team, I think, mm-hmm. that year. I forget where 15th. They ended, but they were top 15th. 20.
They finished 15th. All four of their losses were to top 12 teams. They lost to Auburn, who was the national champion. LSU,
by three points?
They lost to LSU, who finished 11-2. They lost to Alabama, who finished 10-3, and they lost to Arkansas, who finished, I think, 11-2.
And the Arkansas and Auburn games were winnable games.
Really close. Really close.
You win those two games, and you finish the year 10-2.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, it's very possible. Now, I'm not predicting it, but they could very easily do it. Say Mississippi State has a year like they did this year, in 09 this year, where they're showing tremendous strides. The offense is really humming. The defense is better than expected. They finish 5-7, 6-6, whatever, but you can tell that this team's moving in the right direction. You have a ton of success in the transfer portal with some players that see Jeff Lebby's doing good work. Potentially Caleb Cunningham flips from Alabama to Mississippi State. I mean, we talked best case scenarios yesterday. That's best case scenario. Mm-hmm. Is you're starting to show some improvements there and you're making headway with five stars, guys out of the portal. You know, year two, you make another jump and you start to make even more traction. By year three, you have a roster at that point that is capable of doing some really, really big things. And it's going to be tougher, I think, now than it would have been in 2010 or, you know, the early Dan Mullen years, because you have two more teams that are playoff contenders in Oklahoma and Texas. And that's just another team or two on your schedule that is going to be picked as a loss. So it's going to be tougher, but it's also going to be easier to make the playoff at this point because you've added eight more teams in it.
Yeah.
So all you're wanting to do
from 2010,
is finish in the top
Robbie, you've added 10 more teams. There was no playoff. It was just the BCS.
You're right. Texas A&M and Missouri, too, weren't in the SEC. So, yeah. And then you have all the playoff teams that you've added. So, yeah, I mean, it's entirely possible. Now all you're trying to do is get in that top 12. And it's just like getting to Omaha. If you can just get there, mm-hmm. you don't know what can happen. If you can just get in the playoffs, get hot or something, I mean – I think it's a lot tougher in football, but if you can just get there,
yeah,
then anything can happen.
Also, Robbie, Mississippi State as a program, just getting to the playoffs is fine. It's fine. You know, if Mississippi State's in the same with Ole Miss this year, if Ole Miss goes to the playoff, and you know, let's say they're the seventh seed and they get to host the game, but they lose that game to, I don't know, to Notre Dame or to Penn State or whoever. It doesn't matter. They're not going to sit there and go, what a disappointing season, right? I don't think that they are. If they do, they're fools. So I think Mississippi State's the same way. You get to the playoff, everybody's cool. I disagree that it's harder now. First off, when you talk about like, yeah, you added Texas and Oklahoma. Yes, that's true. But 2010, Arkansas was a real problem. That was a really good program, right? So, I mean, you know, and all really all you've done is switch out Texas for Arkansas. That Arkansas team was good year in and year out. In 2010, Mississippi State had not beaten LSU since 1999. Since then, they've beaten them three times. So that game is infinitely more winnable now than it was, I feel, you know, 20 or I guess how long, that's 14 years ago. Mississippi State has elevated itself as a program. I know it's hard to believe it's been 14 years. And Mississippi State has just elevated itself as a program. I know that this year, that's not, you know, year by year, though, Mississippi State is a better program now than it was in year two of Dan Mullen.
Yeah.
They've reached that point. So I think 3 years in, I think if in year three, and let's be honest, if in year three, Libby goes 8-4 and they go to the Gator Bowl or whatever, right? That's not a hugely disappointing season, right? Maybe you feel like you lost one, you shouldn't. But 8-4, you win the bowl game, you go 9-4. I'm not going to be on this podcast saying, hey, this guy needs to go, right? That's not where I'm going to be. But I am just saying that at that point, throughout the season, you should be playing games where you're thinking, okay, if they can win this one, they're really going to have an opportunity to be in that playoff picture. I think 3 years is a completely reasonable time frame. If Lebby is successful offensively, if State can continue to do well in the transfer portal, and most importantly, if defensively they're just good enough. I mean, it goes without saying that if State gets you the kind of the offense that Lebby has been known to bring you, and they're actually really good defensively, well, then you're a playoff contender, no question about it, right? You give Lebby's offense a top 25 defense, and they're going to win almost every game they play. It's just about being good enough defensively year in year. And that's what I mean. Look at Ole Miss last year. They were good enough defensively. 2021, they were good enough defensively. Neither one of those defenses were dominant. Neither one of those defenses were just, you know, dominating and getting off the field three and out every possession. They were just good enough. So that's the key for Mississippi State. I would think in 3 years, Mississippi State, you know, and you don't know what this team is going to look like, right? I mean, 2026, is Chris Parson the quarterback? Is Michael Van Buren the quarterback? Is Kamario Taylor the quarterback? Have they gone to the portal? We don't know what that's going to look like. It's kind of interesting, right? And when Mullen, I remember when Mullen, his last year here, he got a commitment from a kid named Jalen Jones. Do you remember him? Ended up going to Florida, and then I think he ended up getting kicked off the team, had some legal issues. But I did a podcast where I was like, wow, you know who like the next four starting quarterbacks are at Mississippi State, because you had Fitzgerald, and then behind him you had Keaton, and then behind him you had Jalen Maiden, and then behind him you had Jalen Jones coming in, and you're like, okay, you know, because there is no transfer portal. That's going to probably be the order of things here at Mississippi State. And you just kind of, you could see it out. As it turned out, not a single one of those guys ended up being starting quarterback at Mississippi State outside of one start for Keaton Thompson. But nowadays it's even more unpredictable because, I mean, you really have no idea. So it's kind of like we're projecting that he should be able to do this without having any idea whatsoever what the roster is going to look like in 2026.
Yeah.
And
that's kind of the catch 22 here is like you could turn a roster over quickly now, but you really cannot project anymore. I can't project what Mississippi State's going to look like even beyond this year. You know, in the past, you've been able to say, before the transfer portal became a thing, you've been able to say, okay, this is going to be year three for such and such at starting quarterback. They got some good playing time as a freshman. By year three, they're going to be a beast. You know, in 2016, Jeffrey Simmons comes in. You look at Jeffrey Simmons, you're like, what is that dude going to be in 3 years?
Right.
And then, you know, you got Montez Sweat that next year, and you're looking at 2018 and saying, this is going to be Mississippi State's year in 2018. You don't know what's going to happen from year to year. I mean, we've talked about Ole Miss a lot on here and talked about, like, this is their year. Well, you know, they lose everyone next year. What if they seemingly reload and they get another quarterback in here that's just as good as Jackson Dart, and they get more defensive players from the transfer portal? I mean, you don't know. So it's really just a guessing game at this point. I mean, I guess what you can say is like the schedule kind of matches up for you a little bit from year to year. If you look at it, you flip the schedule with teams coming to Starkville and it's more manageable games, things like that. But it's really difficult to look at a team now and say in 2 or 3 years, this is what they're probably going to look like.
Yeah.
And coaching changes too are factored in. I mean, is Jeff Lebby going to be here in 3 years? Who knows?
Yeah.
That's
that's That's when I like to believe that he will be, right? Because, if State is
– You need it.
So, I mean, you're talking about 3 years is 2026. So, from 2018 to 2026, let's say Levy's not – if he's not here, let's say he has good year this year, great year next year, and he takes off, right? That's five head coaches in 8 years. No college football program can withstand that. You just can't. So, yeah, you have to buy into the idea that Levy can be a Mullen. And, you know, Mullen eventually left, but 9 years is a good long tenure. You know, if you told me right now that I'm going to get 9 years out of Jeff Levy, I have to assume he was winning, because you wouldn't keep him if he was losing for 9 years. So yeah. you would take that right now. If you're telling me that, hey, and I mean, it sounds funny to say this out loud, right? But if you're telling me that in 2033, Jeff Levy packs up and heads to Oklahoma or to Texas or whatever, I can live with that. I can live with that.
It's kind of like the thought about Zach Selman when he was hired. I mean, you and I both were kind of on board with, this doesn't seem like he's going to be here for long. You know, I think that, like, if he's not here for long, it's probably a good thing for Mississippi State. It means that he did some good things here.
Correct.
And he was, you know, just kind of leveled up and went to the next job, whether that be back at Oklahoma or somewhere else. If Zach Selman leaves in the next year or so, he's done some pretty good things here, and then you can go get somebody else. It's kind of the same thing with Jeff Levy. If he's, you know, if you get him for 9 years, like you said, if you get him just like Dan Mullen, at this day and age, 9 years is a century. Yeah. It's being at a school for a long time. If he does that, if he's here for almost 10 years and then goes to his alma mater, that's great. You're probably in a good spot. And if you have a coach for 9 years at this point, they were at least pretty darn good, because otherwise they'd be getting fired in this league.
Yeah, but the opposite of everything we've said is kind of true. If in 2026 Mississippi State is a 5-7 kind of team, Levy's getting fired.
I mean, yes.
There's no getting around that fact. So
even if these next 2 years are just okay, and he goes 5-7 this year, and then next year he wins, you know, seven games or something. You need him for that year three.
Yeah.
They need him to stay for a little bit. I mean, now I'm looking at it like the Eli Drinkwitz thing. His first 3 years were not great.
Right.
And then year four, I think it was. Yeah, I think last year was year four, is when he really took off. Right. So you need to be patient with him, and you need him to be here for a few years, because you've got to have some stability at some point. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. You went from 9 years of Dan Mullen to you haven't had more than 3 years now with a coach. And, you know, Leach would have been here, I think, for a little bit, but it didn't work out that way. And now you've had essentially, you know, four coaches in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. So you need some stability at this point to try to get – and even if it isn't like year three when you're getting playoff recognition or you're on the cusp or something, you just need somebody to be here for a little bit and build something.
You got me thinking there for a second about if Leach was still with us, like, what does this team look like for Mississippi State? Is Chris Parson the quarterback, or do they have to go to the portal to replace Will Rogers? I don't know the answer to that.
I think Will Rogers would still be here.
You think he would have done a fifth year?
Yeah.
Wow. He would be pushing 20,000 yards passing at that point.
I think he would have been here, because there was talk even last year, like early, that he was going to be back for another year.
Yeah.
And I think just the whole, like, the offense, and I think it was just a bad deal all around for him.
I get
him.
That. Yeah, for sure.
I think he would have been here for another year with Leach.
God, the message boards would just be like,
they'd be so tired of it. But
they'd be so tired. I mean, college football would be tired of him at that point. They'd be like, how many?
But honestly, with Leach last year, if they were running the same offense and stuff,
yeah.
What is that team last year? I've tried to think about it.
They're 8-9 wins. They would have beaten Kentucky. They would have beaten Auburn. So that's two more, right? So that's seven. I mean, they would have beaten Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I know that's hard for people to hear. I know, especially Ole Miss fans, but
if you look at that game, they win in a vacuum.
Yeah.
If you look at that game in a vacuum and you break it down the same way, which I don't know if you can, but if you look at that game like that and break it down, the offense, if you say that the offense is going to be as productive as it was against Ole Miss with Leach, which was hit or miss,
mm-hmm.
but it was just okay. If it was okay in that game, they win that game.
I just look at it and say, if you're telling me I've only got to score 18 points to win, State's winning that game.
Yeah.
I mean, because
the defense did its job. I mean,
and then you beat South Carolina. You would beat South Carolina.
Would you have beaten South Carolina? Because they had a big day offensively in that game.
They did, but I think with Arnett focused solely on the defense, they would have been a little bit better off. Remember, that was early before they figured things out defensively.
Yeah.
Arnett would have been on top of things. I think they still beat South Carolina. Yes.
I think they easily win 7 games.
Oh, I think they win closer to 9. If going into the season last year, if Leach had still been the coach, I would have predicted 9-3. So they would have lost Alabama, probably LSU, and maybe A&M, something like that.
Leach was such an interesting guy because you look at that roster now and you start breaking it down after the dust settled. And there were so many guys in there that they're going to a lot smaller schools when they're hitting the portal. And you're trying to restructure the roster and get guys in here that can compete in the league. But when Leach was here, even though we talked about, the offense looked kind of boring and stuff, it was just really stable. And he did that everywhere that he was. The talent level wasn't super strong anywhere, and it wasn't strong in Mississippi State when he was here either. I mean, you look at those guys, but he's not producing a ton of NFL talent.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't picking up a ton of 4-stars. But they worked in that system. Whatever he did worked.
Yeah.
So I do wonder, how would he have been moving forward after the dust settled in those first 3 years and he has a cycle of recruiting and he doesn't have, Moorhead's recruits.
Mm-hmm.
What would that team have looked like moving forward? Would that have been a playoff contending team every now and then, or would have been a team contending for 6-7 wins? I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I think last year I feel really good. I don't know what this year's team would have been with Leach. I just don't know. Because, I don't know if he would have just turned it over to Parson. And if you turn Leach's team over to Parson, it becomes the most – it's so unique, right? He never had a quarterback like that can move around and do some things with his feet. And so how much does the offense really change? I don't know the answer to that question. I just don't. So it would have been interesting. All right, let's move into the final part of the show here. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Guys, we're getting close to football season, right? It's time to celebrate. Yeah, this is the best time of the year. Do it with a steak. Go out tonight. Head to the grocery store. Couple steaks. And the great thing about steaks is this. They take no time to cook. Even if you're a person who likes your steak well done, it doesn't take a long time to cook a steak if you're doing it. So just do it, man. Enjoy yourself. Get a great steak this weekend. And if you're not willing to cook it yourself, let somebody else cook it for you. Go to one of our great steak restaurants here in the state of Mississippi. We've got a ton of them. Go check them out. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And you are looking for it. If you're going to come to Starkville this fall, you're making a trip to Two Brothers. You know you're going to be in the Cotton District. You know you're going to get a prime rib sandwich and some smoked wings. You just know it already. It's as sure as they're going to kick off at Davis Wade Stadium, you're going to eat at Two Brothers this fall if you are in Starkville. And if another place you need to check out is the Older Brother, Starkville's best new restaurant. Fantastic food, great, great stuff. And if you haven't been there yet, you're missing out. That's going to be a hot ticket, be a tough table to get when we get to football season. But you're going to want to make it your business to enjoy yourself at the Older Brother and at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of you. each and every day. When you need technology for your business, give them a call. Copiers, printers, computers, laptops, whatever it is. And then if something goes wrong and you need service, you're calling the same number. Not a 1-800 number, not a call center that puts you on hold for 35, 40 minutes. Not a technician making an appointment to be there in a week to 10 days. Just somebody here in the state of Mississippi who can probably solve your problem the same day. That's the difference. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall, or you're at Davis-Wade Stadium, you got to change that wardrobe, and you got to do it with a trip to Marunico. When you're in Starkville and you need MSU gear, Marunico is the place to go. They've got an incredible selection of stuff, things you cannot find anywhere else, all the logos that you want. And, of course, if you want the Bulldog Initiative gear, you can only get it at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15, 15% off regular price. Exclusions do apply, so check me. You know, don't come yelling at me if you picked up something with an exclusion on it. That's not our fault. We're just telling you. Before you're at Davis Wade Stadium this fall, you need to be at Maroon & Co. This one guy just keeps killing us. Like, this guy, they don't think that we can beat Texas. Like. No, I don't. I don't think that Mississippi State can beat.
He calls it helmet bias, and completely ignores the fact that he is inserting his own bias into the fact that he doesn't agree with us because he's from Texas and he hates Texas and Texas A&M.
Texas is a preseason top five team.
Every time we talk about Texas, he makes a post on the board about it and basically calls us idiots.
Appreciate you listening. It's the same thing as giving us a 5-star review and then calling us morons. It's fine. And if you're listening, you are welcome to disagree and to call us idiots. Don't care.
Those guys are so negative, but I've never missed a show.
Now those are the ones I'm glad they're listening, but at the same time, I'm like, why are you listening? Like,
right? Just put yourself through that.
It's one thing if you're just like, hey, these guys, I like the podcast. I just disagree with them on this topic. That's fine.
Yeah.
When you're somebody's like, they're so negative, they hate Mississippi State, why are you listening?
When we talk about best case scenarios, we are giving our opinions on this. And in our opinion, Mississippi State is not going to beat Texas, Georgia, or Tennessee.
Yeah.
And if, as Brian says, if we're presented with new evidence in the first part of the season that suggests that that's possible, we will change our predictions. But as of right now, a coach that's never coached a game as a head coach anywhere, with basically 11 new starters on offense and almost 11 new starters on defense, is not going to beat two teams that are projected to compete for the national championship and another one that's going to be in the playoffs, and all three games are on the road. I've never done acid, but maybe I should to get on board with this. And he also has Mississippi State whipping another playoff contender in Oxford.
Yeah. If I just said, okay, this team that's predicted to finish 15th in its conference out of 16 is going on the road to play the preseason number 4 team in the nation. So I'm not going to tell you what the team is. I'm not going to tell you any of that. Predict the score. Are you going to sit there and tell me, well, I could keep it close. I could win. No. Sometimes you got to I think Mississippi State fans, and we do it too, we're so locked in on Mississippi State. Sometimes you got to get up in the air a little bit, get up in the clouds and look down from 1,000 feet and say, okay, no. You know what? If State beats Texas, I promise you, if State beats Texas and they're 5-0, that Monday Sports Talk Mississippi will be epic. Because I'll be on there like, who was the playoff team in this state? Who was it supposed to be? I think they got it wrong. I'll give Richard all the 10 shades of hell. But
as we sit here today,
August the 6th, I'm just not convinced. I'm just not convinced yet.
This is this is definitely the most optimistic take I've seen from a Mississippi State fan this year.
Even the
people that are the most optimistic
are like
have had Mississippi State winning like 7.
Yeah.
This guy thinks Mississippi State can beat Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas, and Ole Miss all in the same year. And that's in that scenario
undefeated on the road.
Mississippi State is going undefeated.
against preseason number one, number four, number six, and I think Tennessee was 15th. I tell you what, if that happens, I'll kiss Jeff Lebby on the mouth.
I will do what Joe Coleman didn't do, and I will streak through the Cotton District.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Joe Coleman didn't have the gall to do it.
He didn't have
the intestinal fortitude.
He didn't have the testicular fortitude to do it. He was weak. There we go.
I will actually do it. If Mississippi State goes undefeated this year and beats all those teams on the road, I will run through the Cotton District naked.
State 11-1. They win at Georgia, at Texas, at Tennessee, and at Ole Miss. They lose at home to Arkansas. Hey, what happened?
But going into that Egg Bowl with Mississippi State 11-0, I'll be sitting there going, please, God, Jackson Dart, can you please run this thing in so I don't have to run through the Cotton District butt naked?
I would streak to the Grove at that point. Like, look at that.
Oh, my goodness.
Those Grove squirrels would be looking at me, brother. So
I appreciate South Texas Dog listening on a daily basis.
We love the optimism. We love the energy.
I appreciate
hope you're right.
I appreciate him starting conversations and all that stuff. But, like, buddy, if you're acting like we're the crazy ones here, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, well. All right. Tomorrow's show, what is tomorrow? Tomorrow's Wednesday. So we'll have talked to Lebby after that. So we'll hear from him.
Yes.
We've got an opponent preview on tomorrow's show. Graham Hall will join us from, is it Swamp 24/7? I think that's right. I'll have to check. But it's the Florida 24/7.
Are you too good to talk to our people?
I don't know who they are. I don't know who runs the Florida on 3 site. Who does?
Nick Del Torre.
I got tough.
Is that his name?
Nick Del Torre. I like Nick, but I've developed a relationship.
He's tough to get. He's
like, I can't. He's busy. He works hard. He works really hard. He might work harder than anybody I know in the media business. So
yeah.
And then later this week, I've got a college football interview lined up with Mike Golic Jr. Now podcasting dad. Yeah. Doing college football stuff, former Notre Dame football player, former ESPN announcer, now host of, I think it's called Golic and Gojo. And it's a podcast he does with his dad. That's got to be really cool to work with your dad like that.
Yeah.
About that, too. So that'll be fun. Guys, have a great Wednesday. Back with you on Thursday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.